are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Anxiety isn't just something you get over. It's like a sneaky shadow that follows you around, even on sunny days. For women juggling countless roles, managing anxiety and mental health challenges can feel like climbing a mountain, like Mount Kilimanjaro, you know, with no summit in sight. So let's break down how to cope with anxiety in a way that empowers rather than overwhelms, so we can all breathe a little bit easier, because we do need to breathe a little bit easier, you know. We are joined once again by Sister Ruth Chagwinya, who is a girls coach, life coach, who's going to be helping us, you know, with this one. Good morning, Sister Ruth. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. How are you today?
I am good. When I saw it, then I was like, yeah. Anyway, I won't say much. I think, you know, sometimes I look at the topics we discuss and I'm like, why at this particular time, you know, why this week, you know, why not another week?
But God has a reason, hey,
you know. I comfort myself that he works in mysterious ways. Maybe there's a reason why he speaking about, you know, pressure and anxiety now. But anyway, we will be okay. So I'm gonna ask that, can you please offer a word of prayer before we start?
All right, shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we ask that, Lord, you be with us today as we are discussing such a difficult topic. Some of us are affected. Some of us know someone who is going through anxiety. God, I ask that you may give us wisdom. You may inspire us, Lord, that we may be able to touch a heart that needs reassurance, dear God. This is my prayer in your name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Yeah, let me not do another preamble. So, you know, what are some, you know, common causes of anxiety for women, you know, that are there? And how can we identify those triggers, you know, in our own lives? I remember when I was working at another company, there was this colleague of mine, we actually even sat next together. She was like, the way I'm so anxious, guys, the anxiety when it kicks in, I can't even drive. Like, she doesn't drive. She's like, it gets that bad, you know. So I don't know. So let's speak about it. What are those you know, common causes, and you know, how do we know how, what the triggers are?
Okay, I first want to start with defining anxiety, because maybe someone does not know that they have anxiety. They don't know what anxiety is. So I feel it's something that we also need to break down and start right at the beginning. So anxiety is a feeling of fear, tension, or worry that occurs as a response to real or perceived threats. So it can be something that is real, that is actually going on, or it's something that is just in your mind that is giving you so much unrest. And with that being said, anxiety is a common emotion. We get anxious over big things and small things. It's normal to have an anxiety. But it can, there are different symptoms of anxiety. There's physical symptoms. It shows up in a physical way, which I think many of us are able to identify anxiety through, when our body is feeling something. You have a tight chest, you have shallow breathing, your heart is racing, difficulty breathing, you even get headaches and all kinds of things. And so I remember I would get this feeling in the pit of my stomach. And, you know, one day I just said, no, man, this feeling is anxiety.
Okay.
This is not a normal feeling in my stomach. So there's that feeling that you get, which I also want to say to parents, stomach aches in children are not always stomach aches.
Okay.
A stomach ache may be saying something else. You know, when your child says, my tummy is sore, speak to their day, speak to what's going on in their life also, and you realize that maybe your child is going through something, and whatever it is manifesting through that stomach ache. And then there's the psychological symptoms, that is through your thoughts. You have intrusive thinking, ruminating, you know, you keep thinking over and over and over again. You know, those thoughts that wake you up at 2 a.m.
Yes.
in the morning, you find yourself awake and you can't go back to sleep. That is anxiety. And, you know, at night, some thoughts just look bigger than they are. You know, something that was normal and small during the day, at night just looks 100 times bigger. And so there's also a feeling feeling or sense of danger, of panic, of doom, that you are having constant comparison, comparing yourself to this, to that, to who, their successes, their marriage, whatever it is. There's also indecisiveness. You cannot seem to decide on anything. And then there's difficulty with concentration. And then there's also behavioral symptoms in the way you act. You know, you avoidance of anxiety-inducing situations. Maybe it's avoiding certain people, avoiding certain circles, avoiding even church, avoiding work, you know, places that are normal and usual to you become places that you don't want to go to because they trigger you, they bring that anxiety back. There's also media, social media, you know, there's so much going on there that can bring you anxiety. It could be an accident, whatever. And then you're also suddenly isolating and withdrawing from people. Sometimes you don't even see it until someone points it out and says, hey, we haven't seen you in a while. Why are you backing off? Why are you not there? Why are you absent? And then we have the general restlessness, irritability, you are easily startled, and you know, you have obsessive or this compulsive behavior. And so those are some of the symptoms that show up when someone has anxiety. And so when anxiety becomes persistent and excessive, a person may have what is called an anxiety disorder. So it's when this anxiety becomes persistent and excessive. You keep on going through this, you know, as I said, it's a normal thing. But now when it takes over your life, when it's now running you, when it's now controlling you, that's when we can say you've got an anxiety disorder. And so it can be minimal, it can be mild, it can be severe, it can be debilitating to a point whereby you cannot do things that were normal to you anymore. You have meltdown, you're having a panic attack, you know, all kinds of things because of this anxiety. And so anxiety disorders are a category of mental health, and that involves nervousness, fear, apprehension, and just being wary of life. And these symptoms can interfere with a person's quality of life and just daily life interactions. And as you said about your friend, she would, you know, she'd be afraid to drive, you know, and because of that anxiety, that's when I think it has become debilitating. It's now a severe situation where it's controlling her life. It's controlling the quality of her life. It's reducing the quality of her life. And so in a nutshell, that is anxiety.
It's a lot. It's a lot, you know.
It is a lot.
Looking at, you know, we're speaking about, you know, self-care. When it comes to mental health, most of the time we're told about self-care, you know, putting oneself. I remember on where was I going? On Sunday. I had a meeting here at work. So on my way, I was listening to this other radio station. There was this clinical psychologist. I think they have it on a regular. So, you know, they were speaking about putting yourself first, learning how to say no to others, but yes to yourself. It was quite a very intriguing and interesting one, because it's something we struggle with, you know, as people and us as mothers as well. Because now, if I have to say no to my children, I feel guilty. If I have to say no to my husband, it's like, I have sinned, the greatest sin ever, you know. But how can we incorporate issues of, you know, self-care routines, you know, into our daily lives, you know, to better manage anxiety? I remember me personally, there was a lady who said to me, Zanele, whatever you do, take time for yourself, because when you are now old, you are going to hate your children. And I was like, because everything you're doing now, it's focused around your children, you know. So then you're going to hate them, saying you didn't enjoy yourself. But how now do we incorporate, you know, us taking care of ourselves, yet, you know, handling all of these things that we handle on a daily?
Okay. First of all, I think one needs to be self-aware. First of all, ask yourself, do I have anxiety? If you have anxiety, have any of these symptoms, have you identified with any of the symptoms that I have said, or, you know, you actually know you have anxiety? Once you know that, you know yourself, you know what bothers you and what doesn't. Mm. So first of all, I believe that to care for yourself, you need to know yourself first so that you give yourself the right kind of self, mm. The right kind of care. So I'm saying know yourself. What puts you into a place of anxiety? What sets you off? Mm. What causes your heart to beat faster? What makes your palms sweat? Do you know whether or not you actually have anxiety? Mm. What is causing you to have this constant forgetfulness? What is causing you to feel afraid and, you know, worry of life? What is it? So it's identifying these things to say, this is how I am when I'm anxious. This is what happens. This is what sets me off. And the first form of self-care, I believe, one can give themselves is to be self-compassionate. Mm. Don't be hard on yourself. Don't. Because once you're hard on yourself, you're pressuring yourself. So give yourself grace. Give yourself kindness. Mm. Gift that to yourself. Be kind to yourself. Be understanding to yourself. And once you're kind to yourself, you just say, how best can I meet myself? Mm. How best can I take care of me? What does me want? What does me need? Is it that I need to affirm myself more? Do I need mental self-care? Does my mind need a break? Does it need some positive stimulation, soft stimulation? You know, what do I need? What do I need? Is it emotional self-care? Do I need to connect with nature? Do I need to, you know, social support? Do I need friends and family around me? Mm-hmm. Do I need love? Do I need care? What can I, is it physical self-care that I need? Do I need to eat better? Do I need to sleep? Sometimes we just need to sleep. Mm. You know, do I need to retreat to my own, you know, into my own space? Do I need to retreat, close my doors, my curtains, just put on soft music, do something for me to get out of that anxious state? Do I know, you know, what do I do when I'm faced with that thing that is giving me anxiety? Mm. And so when you are faced with whatever is giving you anxiety, you know, give yourself grace. Hmm. Allow yourself to take it in slowly. Don't rush yourself, you know. Be graceful to yourself. Life is fragile. Handle it with care. You are fragile. Handle yourself with care. Mm. And there are things that you can only do for yourself that no one else can do for you. Your partner may not be understanding that you are in a state of anxiety. Your friends may not get it. Yep. Others may not get it. But you know yourself. You know yourself. Mm. And the first person who will care for you is you. So identify what is bringing you that anxiety. What has brought on these feelings? And how can you soothe yourself into a better mental space, into a better psychological space, into a better physical state? What makes you feel better?
I went to see me and you, we put our hearts on this show. We even say things, you know, that so I went to see this clinical psychologist. Yeah, at the time, and then I got to the hospital there, then I got lost, and then I called him. I'm like, "Hey, dude, Mina, I'm lost. I'm at this site, you know, because I know the hospital." I'm like, "He's like, no. You're at the right place, but at the wrong place." I'm like, "Yeah." No, do this, go like this, ask the securities where this and everything else. And then finally, after like 10 minutes of, you know, I'm like, I should have parked that other way, Musi, from the beginning. Now I have to walk, you know. And then when I got in, I finally sat in. He's like, "So what do you think about the building?" And I'm like, He's like, "No, it's because it was so beautiful, yo, that place." He's like, "No, as much as it's a bit secluded, it's a wing of the other hospital." Mm-hmm. He's like, "It's not like the other hospital, so you wouldn't even know that it's a psychiatric hospital where all the psychologists, psychiatrists are there. You wouldn't know." He's like, "Did you meet people on your way here?" And I'm like, "No, I only met four people, you know." He's like, "Are you sure?" And I'm like, yeah. He's like, you see, you wouldn't even tell, you know, that they're struggling with issues of mental health, the people you met, because they're just like you. They're normal and everything else. And then he spoke about how whatever they're doing, you know, the approaches, the building, the treatment is to, you know, take away the stigma of mental health from people in HS. And I was like, oh, that is quite interesting. He's like, because the moment people see you saying, I won't mention the place, let me just use Seed Media. The moment people say, if you say you're going to Seed Media, people are like, ah, you're struggling with issues of the head. You understand? But now if you're going to, I'm going to SID, they won't even, you know, it won't click where actually you're going, because they have a whole lot of, you know, things there. So with that whole story, Nyana, of mine, it comes to, you know, what, you know, when we talk about mental health, like we are doing now, like the experiences we've had personally, otherwise, you know, when we speak about it with our friends here on radio, you know, with our family, how does that help in terms of taking away the stigma, you know, around mental health? Because the moment you say mental health, he was even joking. He's like, the moment you say that, people saying, when are you crazy? You know, and exactly. stuff like that. Yeah. So how, speaking about it, how does it help in terms of speaking about, you know, mental health?
First of all, it's okay to get help. It's okay to reach out and say, I'm not feeling well. The same way that you take care of your headache, the same way that you take care of your flu, it's the same way. You say, I'm not okay mentally. I think I need to see a doctor. It's okay. It's okay. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. And I find that we might have a generational problem where the older generation may not understand that it's okay to get help for mental health. And it doesn't mean that you have completely lost your marbles. You can just have something that you need to work through, maybe from your childhood, maybe something that is going on right now, or something you're afraid of the future. And it's just bothering, and now it has come to a point whereby it's affecting your mental health, and you just need someone to hash it out with, to help you see things clearer, to help you understand things better, to give you focus in life. And it's okay then to get help for mental health. There's nothing wrong. And I want to just say that as families, as friends, as churches, as communities, let us embrace those who are struggling, who have issues to do with mental health. Let us not point at them. Let us not laugh at them. Let us be compassionate. Let us be caring. Let us be loving. Let us have empathy for those around us. The same way you can care for someone who has, let's say a flu.
Yeah, like me. So.
Let's keep it safe. Someone who has a flu, you know, you're bothered about them. You're bringing them soup. You are doing whatever you can. You're bringing them medication. When you hear that someone is struggling with mental health, reach out to them. Be kind. Be loving. Don't be weird. Don't be weird. And, you know, don't always say, this is the one who had mental health.
Are you okay now?
This is the mental health one, Pela.
I know, man.
You know, mental health issues, anxiety is just like any other condition that we all face. And when you feel that you are no longer okay mentally, go and reach out for help. Encourage whoever it is to get help. Find them the help if you can. Show them that it's nothing wrong, it's nothing weird. Now and again, something happens in life. And, you know, mental health issues did not begin today. They are nothing new. When we go to the Bible, the Bible says, the Bible says in, what is this verse? I have just lost. In Luke 12, verse 22, it says, do not worry about life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Other versions say, do not be anxious, you know, about tomorrow. Don't be anxious. God God knew already that there were things that were going to bring us stress. There were things that were going to affect us. There were things that would do things to us and bring us anxiety. We are afraid about tomorrow. We are afraid about now. Where am I going? What's happening to me now? But the Bible says, do not worry about your life. God knew that these things were going to happen. He knew it. So my sister, whether you know, you could be going through a mental health issue, anxiety, whatever it is, God knew about it. He knew, you know, you are not alone. You are not alone in this. Psalms 23 verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd. Yes. I shall not want. Yes. You know, and it says, consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you? How much more valuable you are than the birds.
Yes.
Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Who you know, what will anxiety bring you? What is that fear going to bring you? What is it going to do for you? And Christ says, you are more valuable.
Yeah.
My sister, that anxiety that is bringing you down, those things that are keeping you up at night, whatever it is, the Bible says the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And the Bible goes on to say again in Psalms 55, cast your cares, cast your anxieties on the Lord. To cast is to throw, you know, throw those things to God. It's none of your business. It's none of your business.
Yeah.
Why are you bothered? Why are you sticking your business? Why are you sticking your nose where it has no business being? Give it to the owner.
Yeah.
Cast your cares on the Lord. Those things are for God.
Mm.
They are for the Lord. And he will sustain you. And he says in Isaiah 41, verse 13 to 14, says, for I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Do not be afraid, for I myself will help you. I myself, nobody else. He didn't say Gabriel will come. He didn't say so. No. He says, I myself will do what? Will help you. And declares the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel.
Yeah.
And, you know, the devil puts within us, as humans, our initial focus is to focus on fear. And when we focus on fear, the devil knows that that is our line of weakness, and he amplifies it. He throws it way out of proportion. And that's what you will focus on, and you focus. You forget to focus on the one who says, for I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand. You forget that you have a God. You forget that you have a God who can take you out of things. You know, I read a statement somewhere just before I joined this call, and it says, sometimes peace is not the absence of problems, but the presence of God.
Yes.
God is there, you know. As I said the other day, sometimes we are praying amiss. What we should be praying for is not for God to take away the anxiety, but for God to come through in that anxiety. And in that, in him being there, you don't have it anymore. The problems are still there. Things are still happening around you. The world is still shaking.
Yeah.
You know, life is going on. But through it all, God is there. And you get to have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Remember, sometimes peace is not the absence of problems, but the presence of God.
Sister Ruth, you know, we have a comment here. It's a bit lengthy. It's a comment, it's a question, and yeah, it's a question. In fact, the person has, you know, a couple of them. So I'm going to ask, they've asked that we don't mention their name, so we respect that wish. My question is it important to know these signs? I'm asking because Ekaya, I'm the only 2K, and they believe my generation is weak, and they believe if you name it, you manifest it. And they believe in Indugu, you know, bese uyakhala, then uba right. So is it okay to know those? That is the first one. Number two, also, my other question is, do I get I do get panic attacks and stuff, but what bothers me the most is the nature I am. I do things in a certain way, and if things don't occur in order of occurrence, I feel like it's the end of the world, and I panic and get frustrated. I once told my friend that I see things in a symmetrical way, or they are not. If they are not, it triggers me. Or if colors are not in order, it goes on and on. So is that part of mental health issues also? These are some of the questions that I have. So Sis Ruth, maybe if you can advise her on that one. Or okay. Him. Her or I him.
Yeah. I want to talk first about seeing things in a certain way in black and white, and if not, then it triggers you. I spoke about self-compassion.
Yeah,
I spoke about self. It's giving yourself grace to say, you know what, if things don't go my way, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. It's changing your mindset to say, you know, this is how I am. At least you know that this is what sets you off, you know, which is a very good thing. And it's okay. But now what then do you do about those things? And it comes back to giving yourself grace to say, even if things are not symmetrical, not everyone is going to be symmetrical. Not everything around you is going to be symmetrical. Do you get what I'm saying?
Okay.
I think one needs to embrace that part of the world to say that it may not always be my way. So give yourself grace to understand that if things are not your way, it's okay. Accept it, embrace it, and step away and say that in my world, I can make things like this. But even if it's not like that, it's still okay. We have something called catastrophic thinking. Work yourself out of getting out of this web of catastrophic thinking. If it's not this way, then that's the end of the world. That is a form of catastrophic thinking. And now that we know there's catastrophic thinking, now that we know that there is triggers, what triggers you, and it's the symmetry and whatnot, you know, you now know that it won't always be like that anyway, everywhere.
Okay.
And it's okay. Accept that and embrace that. Ask yourself, if things are not going to be like this, then what do I do? What can I do? How can I help myself to understand that it's not symmetrical, to embrace that it's not symmetrical? Hope that helps. So most of all, give yourself grace. And many of us are hung up on conditions.
Yes.
We let the condition control us, and we don't for lack of words, we love the condition. We love the condition, and then you allow the condition to control your life. You know, don't break away from the condition. Say, okay, fine. Even if I'm anxious, the anxiety, I am going to do this, anxious or not. I'm going to drive this car, even if I'm anxious. So don't stop becoming the best of yourself because of this condition. So don't let the condition control you. Control the condition. You have power over this. You have power over it.
And also I think you know, to address Anon's, call him her Anon's, you know, first thing, it just raises also the issue of, you know, how the importance of us as families, as the church, as the community, you know, to speak more when it comes to issues of mental health and what it is and what it's not, you know, because with her question there, and with the question coming up saying that, you know, comments would be made in terms of saying that this generation Z, yeah, but in your ex, yeah, Z, generation Z's, you know. because ziningi, you know, they're weak, and which is something that I think I've heard as well, you know, once in a while, where they say, yo, you know, Tina, when we were growing up, we went through 1, 2, 3, 4, we didn't break. But this generation of today, once Molanyana situation, you know, they crumble. So I think, you know, we need to have more of this. And I'm so happy that, you know, Anonymous raised this issue, because we need to speak more. We need to educate more. Maybe, you know, I know you don't specialize in this field per se. Maybe we can find a way in which we maybe not tone down the message, but make it palatable also to the older folk, you know. Because when you speak about depression, you know, you're speaking about, you know, multiple personality syndromes. And then, you know, so maybe finding a way so that when our children are going through this or showing such signs, you know, we understand in terms of that. And to tie on to, you know, the issue of the first anonymous. Now there's another anonymous, you know, who's speaking to it. Abo Anons, love it, Anons. You know, saying greetings, on the if you speak it, you manifest it. You know, with our Christian background, I often feel that it is not allowed to be sick, to be down, or anything negative, that we end up not being able to deal with things that may arise, you know. And yeah, I'm sorry, I have to agree. I have to agree with that. Let me not mention people or situations, but it would be that thing when you say something, they were like, be careful because the tongue births, you know. And going to what the first anonymous said, that when they're saying that when I speak about depression, you know, I'm manifesting it, it's going to come through. And we've seen how, as Christians, we're struggling with issues of mental health because we can't speak. We're supposed to be okay, but we have Jesus, you know, we grand. it's a lot. So if we can just speak to that a bit, you know, Sister Ruth, in terms of we are Christians, you know, we are taught and conditioned, you know, to profess or manifest, you know, proclaim the good things, positive things, but on the other hand, we are facing these things that are not so good, but now we can't even speak out about that because people are going to see it otherwise. So if we can just speak about that as we near the end.
Okay, first of all, the book of Psalms is David going through every and any kind of emotion.
Okay.
He's swinging from happiness to depression. One day he's praising God, one day he's not eating. And, you know, and then we have the issue of Elijah, who ran away from the queen and he hid. Yeah. And he said, you know, he could not eat. He was afraid. He was in a form of depression. And God comes to him and ministers to him, and he says, okay, sleep, Elijah, rest. And God was just bringing him food. When he would wake up, he would eat. There was even a river, and there was water for him to drink. And God says, rest, my child, rest, 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 rest.
Yeah.
Let's come back to the Bible.
Okay.
There are people who we look up to so much in the Bible. Why I mention them? Who experienced life and issues of life and depression. You know, who experienced moments of mental health. I think we can safely say that.
Yeah.
And so as Christians, let us not feel bad when we go through situations. Even the Bible is saying, do not be anxious. The Bible, God knew that there were things that were going to happen to us that would bring us down. You know, we go to Moses himself, the greatest leader in the Bible, and he goes to God. He's tired of the children of Israel. And he goes, God, he doesn't say, God, can I take a break? God, just kill me already.
Yeah.
You know, so it's okay to not feel okay. It's allowed to not be okay. It doesn't mean that if we are Christians, our lives are going to be perfect.
Yeah.
And so sometimes we are going to feel down. Reach out to God. Reach out to those you know who listen and not judge. And let us be people who are there to be empathetic. Mm-hmm. When something is brought to us, let us be a safe place. Let's not judge. Let's not look down on someone. Let's not talk about them. Yeah. Be a safe space. Decide yourself as a Christian that because I'm a Christian, mm-hmm. part of me needs me to be a safe space. When someone is going through a breakdown, is going through something, I'm not going to ridicule them. I'm not going to judge them. I'm going to be there for them. I'm going to try to be like God. I'm going to tell them to take a break, yes. to go to sleep. I will bring them food. I will bring them the word of God. I will bring them companionship. I will bring them friendship. I will be that person. Yeah. So Christians, it's okay to not be okay. Yeah. Life happens. Yeah. Life happens. And we react in a certain way. Mm. Take it to God.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Sister Ruth, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Not to announce the plans ahead of time, but I must say that, you know, with the issues of mental health and everything else, and as Christians, sometimes people say we are quiet and everything else. But as AWR, for example, we've taken a stance that next year, you know, we're going to pay a special focus on mental health, where we're going to have a discussion each and every single week, you know, with all the time. You can look at them. So my announce, the first one, looking at the triggers, we're going to be looking at those, you know, we're going to be having the professionals coming through as well to speak good to what have they experienced in their line of work and what it is that we must know. If they're going to give us booklets again, it's fine. We will take those. So I'm happy that we touched on it today. It came up and, you know, next year as well, we're also going to pay more attention to that, because it's okay not to be okay, you know, and we need to deal with that as well, you know, and understand it and what it means. So Sister Ruth, I'm going to ask that, can you please offer a word of prayer for us?
All right, shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for allowing us to have this conversation today. Father, we ask and pray that the words that came out of our mouths, Lord, will be a balm for someone out there, will be a voice of reason, will be a comfort, dear God, will be a way of showing them the light that there's life after anxiety, there's life, even when you're having a mental health issue. And that, Lord, at the end of the day, we should cast all our cares on you. And when we cast all our cares on you, Lord, everything will be well with us. We can experience peace and happiness that passes all understanding. This is my prayer in your name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Sister Ruth, it's always a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you always, so much. Thank always. You so much. Have yourself a blessed day.
Thank you, dear. God bless you too. Amen. Bye.
Bye. Oh, beautiful conversation there, I must say. Always love speaking to Sarithi. We always, you know, touch there. Thank you to my anons that have contributed to the conversation. We loved it. We enjoyed it. Continue listening.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.